to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Wario needs an old man. Wario needs his beauty sleep.
We all need our beauty sleep, I'm just saying, you know. Not that I don't need help with my ugliness. I mean, I'm an ugly man, but I mean, the sleep can't be helping me. And the birthday boy, Tellius Tyler.
Thank you very much for the wonderful birthday introduction and pushing back this recording. You guys only need your BBRS because it's my responsibility. I pushed it back because
Fine. Again, there are priorities. You know, just like we did that delayed one after the Switch event because we wanted to talk about that on time. And joining us today, we don't have a guest. We don't have a guest. Okay, it's kind of awkward.
But stay tuned
to the end to find out how you can be a part of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. So, that being said, we do have a lot to talk about today. So, it's time to find out, what have you been playing? Not much. And I haven't been really feeling video games recently. What about you guys? If only there was a big release out, you know.
Just... might be time to quit video games forever.
I know. I mean, we've been doing this for 19 episodes now. I mean, we had a good run, you know. It's just,
We did.
I mean, yeah. We're kidding, of course. You know, we've all three kings of Nintendo of Tyre have been, of course, playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and we're going to be dedicating a large chunk of our show today to that, so we're actually going to skip over that. But if you have been playing another game, please let me know. Mine has still been Pokemon Moon. I guess it's because of my Uber driving, I've been trying to like take in more of the smaller elements, so I've actually been going to the Pokepelago, and I've gotten some very interesting Pokemon on the Pokepelago. And Tyler, you remember how much I didn't like that, and I still kind of technically don't like it, but it has its uses. So
yeah, no, it definitely does. Pokepelago, when I talked about it when we did our Pokemon impressions, it's not bad. It's just it's not super engaging, but you do get good rewards for you know, going in and spending a couple seconds there each day. So
yeah. And then I actually had something very unique happen to me like a little bit before this podcast. I fought Nanu again as the part of the Ultra Beast missions, and my Jolteon got to level 70 before my starter Pokemon, Decidueye, which has never happened to me in the history of my time as Pokemon. No starter, like, legitimately, not like Rare Candy Super Increase or like, you know, the missing number cheat, you know, has no other Pokemon that I have caught or raised has ever gotten higher than my starter until today. And I didn't realize it until I realized, wait a minute, my Decidueye is level 69 and Jolteon 70. How did that happen? So, that was a pretty cool moment. And considering I got these Eevees at level 1 from Tyler, and even with all their boosts, my Decidueye was, you know, one or two levels above. So, that was actually pretty cool.
Now, who did you like more, Decidueye or Litten? As Torkoal, Incineroar.
Oh, totally Incineroar. I totally want us, like you and me, Tyler, and this can just be like, you know, a preview of what may become. I want us to discuss what superheroes would have as their Pokemon, because Decidueye would totally be with Green Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then course. Batman would have Darkrai.
Yeah.
Picture that. I could see Hawlucha with like Superman maybe, or just because like the posing and everything, or maybe someone else with him.
I could see like Honedge, like it had to be like a super overpowered Pokemon. Like I could see like Arceus being with Superman.
But it doesn't really go with the theme though. I mean, when I think of you know, like Hawlucha, I remember how much he was always trying to help out Ash's Pokemon in the anime. So he really had that kind nature, which I think would lend to Superman. And he always had the posing and everything. And,
yeah.
You know, that would be cool. So I definitely think we should try and do that. Like, what Pokemon superhero would have, or what superhero Pokemon teams would be. I had that idea because when I saw Decidueye, I'm like, dude, it's Green Arrow. he has the hood. His special attacks are arrow based. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I cried out at one point during the game, "You have failed this Pokemon battle." You know, why not? So look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, birthday boy. What have you been playing other than Fire Emblem Heroes, if anything at all?
Yeah,
because I know your dedication.
Yes, well, as you would expect, Fire Emblem Heroes has been taking up pretty much the large block of my gaming time. But I have been playing a little bit of other things. I have been playing the NES Classic while I anxiously await for Breath of the Wild. And
a few
the
weeks
Switch.
Away.
My brother. Well, for me, it's a little bit more, but it's worth it because my little brother for my birthday got me the Master Edition.
Oh my god!
They
Are
were
you
all
kidding
sold.
Me?
Well, yeah. So it was ridiculously, unbelievably great gift. But they're all sold out here. So he actually, taking advantage of the fact that the Switch is the first console to not be region locked, got me the UK version. So I got to get that shipped in. So it'll probably be here like a week after the Switch launches, is what it was saying online. So I'll have to wait a little bit more.
That is beautiful. I love that. And nice. Thank you, Nintendo, for not region locking this because you just made Tyler's birthday.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so that was, I was like, super excited for that. But I've been playing the NES Classic with one of my buddies, listener of the show, have been playing this great game called Bubble Bop, or Bubble Bobble is what it's actually called. But we call it Bubble Bop. It's like you have these two little monsters and you got to shoot these other creatures with bubbles. I put them in a bubble and then bop the bubbles and then it defeats the monsters. And it's so retro. It's like such a primitive game, but we have such a good time with it for really no reason. I mean, it's not even that great of a game. Well, I mean, it's probably the best game ever made actually, but you know, in terms of gameplay, it might not be the best, but it's the philosophy behind blah, blah, blah. Once you play, you can't explain it until you play it, but it's, there's some deep stuff going on in that game. So,
it's simple things, basically.
Yes, it's a simple game with a deep message. Got to save your girlfriends from a giant monster. It's incredibly deep.
Isn't that the purpose of life, to save your girlfriend? Not that I could talk about that because I'm single, you know. That was ladies.
Well, I think I agree with that. That's about right.
All right.
Yeah, Bubble Bop, great game. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
There you go. Will?
Oh, man, where do I begin? I mean, yeah, of course, Fire Emblem Heroes have definitely been taking over my time, even just like taking each and every single moment to play at the workplace. But mostly what I've been playing is actually my new game for PS4 is Nioh, basically the Japanese Dark Souls. And it's just so rooted in Japanese folklore. I mean, if you like your Japanese feudal era history, like the Battle of Sekigahara, Tokugawa Ieyasu, Mitsunari Ishida, I mean, all these famous figures. And of course, like, ironically enough, the main character is William Thatcher, based on a real historian. One of the first Western samurai. So it's just, I don't know, I just really love Nioh for the most part. I know, I'm not playing Nintendo games as far as I'm concerned, but...
Dude, you played Fire Emblem, you know. I know you've played Fire Emblem, so that counts. I'm just telling you not to talk about it because we're going to dedicate half the show to this. There's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference, my friend.
Yes. Don't worry, I'm holding up all the cards right now. So Nioh, Overwatch is just, I've been more or less trying to juggle four games at once. So, yes.
It's okay. All right. Hey, you can answer me a question. Isn't there another Nioh game coming out called Nioh Autonoma?
That's Nier Autonoma.
Oh, I kept saying Nioh, and then I thought about Autonoma. I'm like, are they really releasing two games of the same franchise in like a few weeks? Okay, it's Nier Autonoma. Okay, that's
Nier.
And Nier. Yeah. Okay. So I think we can all say that Nier and Far. That's a different game. Oh yeah, the puns are coming. You Nioh it. Oh yeah. All right. So, there actually has been some very interesting Nintendo pieces and articles that have come out this week. Some of which have made us very happy here at the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, so here's we're gonna start basically, shoot, like two or three games basically, and then like some Nintendo Switch news. Start off with a big one. Breath of the Wild officially gone gold. It is, yeah, exactly. It is officially coming to, you know, Switch and Wii U. It will be out on the 3rd. We're all looking forward to that. You know, I'm eagerly waiting. It's 3 weeks at the time of this recording. You know, 3 weeks in like a few hours. So that's pretty impressive. And then Nintendo actually released a new trailer for Breath of the Wild. We'll have a link in the podcast page on Outer Haven. And it's beautiful. I mean, it really highlights this more cinematic qualities as well as some gameplay. And Zelda is in a lot of it. Yeah.
And Zelda looks awesome.
I love this look of Zelda. I like this look of Zelda. I mean, I liked Skyward Sword Zelda too, because we actually got to see her as a girl and not just like, you know, princess, or in this case, reincarnation of a goddess. Spoilers. But I'm very excited for this. And then producer Eiji Aonuma has stated that in this game, you're going to see a lot of emotions in Zelda. And obviously, we saw that in the trailer we got during the Switch event. But he stated specifically, if you pay attention to Zelda, you're going to see the wide range of emotions that she has, including apparently scolding Link.
Yes, I mean, also, regarding to the new trailer, actually, it was going alongside with it. Like, it's just the one I noticed regarding to is basically the sounds of nature. Basically, you hear each, every single sound of the environment. And regarding to especially in Zelda as well, like, her facial expressions. Oh,
yeah, it's.
God.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I love it. I mean, it's just so funny. Legend of Zelda is one of the most ironic franchises because you don't play as Zelda. You play as Link, so how is it not The Legend of Link?
Yeah.
And yet with especially Skyward Sword, I would even go Wind Waker with what happened with Tetra, and now Breath of the Wild, we're getting more of Zelda, and I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah, I'm with you. The thing that really stood out to me, I mean, it always does, every time I watch a new cutscene from this game, or a new trailer, or even when it's stuff I've already seen, it's so beautiful.
It is.
It's the thing that most that sticks out in my memory from watching that trailer was watching Zelda, like, you know, leaning down picking a flower, and it's just it perfectly captures, I think, the spirit of the series. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. I mean, I can't even. It's just, oh gosh. I'm again, 3 weeks. We have to wait 3 long weeks, and then
it's not that long, really. Just this 1 month, and then we're good to go.
Ooh. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we can do this. We can hold on.
Final Switch.
Yeah, Nintendo Switch. Woo! All right. Okay, I want to save that other piece of news for a little bit later, but more news on people coming over to Nintendo Switch. 2K, or sorry, Take-Two, who makes like the 2K games and various other titles, have said they are in Nintendo Switch for the long term, which is always supportive. And then even the Final Fantasy 15 team, which I'm sure makes you happy, Will, has said that they are very interested in the console, though you shouldn't expect a Final Fantasy 15 port.
And Crompcho. Sorry. It makes Crompcho happy as well. Shout out to Crompcho! Our great guest last week.
Yeah! Miss you, Joe. But
she wasn't kidding about last week. If you listen to the episode, she said, don't follow her on Twitter because she loads up with Final Fantasy stuff. And yes, I can confirm.
Yeah. I wouldn't say worse recently, but it got even more intense because Ignis's birthday was the other day.
Yes, that's her favorite
character, and so she was like, you know, retweeting, and like when she I told her like you know you should load up on Ignis. I mean, she goes, oh, I already have, and even the voice actor like did some special stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And she goes, yeah, he's pretty hot too. I'm like, okay, look up memes of him or something. She loved that. But yeah, I mean, again, Square Enix is easily one of the biggest supporters of the Switch right now.
Surprising. And,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, it is surprising, but I mean
not to Will. Will called it. Will said, I want JRPGs.
You
we
did.
Need them. And they said,
he wanted
oh,
it.
We must appease like, him.
Yeah, Square Enix heard his call through the void, and they go, we must please Will. And so, you know, and now that the fact that, you know, these masters of design go, yeah, we're very interested in the Switch, you know, that's like just cool beyond words. Here, I'm going to see if I can find the exact quote. Let's see. Okay, there are no plans for Switch at the moment, but overall there is interest in the platform among the development team. We do have a lot of Nintendo fans inside BD2, which is their little in development team. And so
Right.
yeah,
it
I
could
mean,
work.
because again, the last major collaboration was pretty much during Smash Bros. With Cloud, so I can
Oh,
only
well, it
imagine.
depends on what you define as a collaboration, because you could also say, you know, they brought Bravely Default and Bravely
Okay.
Second and, you know, all the, you know, remakes of the original Final Fantasy games, you know. It's all relative, but I definitely think that I'm happy that Square Enix is putting so much emphasis on this. It's pretty impressive, and I like it.
The developers are buying in, and I know we have a lot of haters out there, even within the Outer Haven, who are
Oh
think the Switch won't work out. But with all these, I think with all these development teams saying, you know, we're very interested in this, that's a great sign. And also, actually, I wanted to talk briefly about the Super Bowl ad
Oh
that they
yes.
that was very successful, at least among my group of friends who might not be as into gaming as I am.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people haven't bought a Nintendo console for years, and afterwards they're all texting me because they know I'm the guy to go to for Nintendo stuff. Like, oh my gosh, like this looks awesome.
Yep. I mean, though we will not speak of what actually happened in the Super Bowl, I was there.
Well, you know, we
Don't,
could. The Patriots
don't.
won, and it was
I
the
will
greatest thing
end you,
ever.
Tyler. I don't care that it's your birthday. Okay?
Actually,
Stop.
ironic.
Don't. Not a word. Nope. Nope. Not a word. Not a word. We're going back
Patriots
to
are the
the
best.
we're going back to the commercial now. I will kick you out of this channel. I was there when they actually aired the commercial, and I was like, "Oh, this is my commercial." And, like, my dad was looking at me weird, and they were playing all the Zelda stuff, and I was like bowing before the TV, and I go, because I've been telling my dad that March 3rd is going to be a very busy day for me, and he didn't understand what I meant because he thought I was just talking about the Logan movie, which is coming out on March 3rd, and I'm like. And then he sees the commercial, and I go, "That's why my Friday is busy." And he goes, "You're buying that?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm buying that." And he goes, and I could just see him like roll his eyes. I'm like, "Okay, that's fine, Dad. You don't get it. You know, the only video game you've ever really played was Call of Duty, and you know, that was an experience." Todd, how do I drive this Jeep? I kid you not. Call of Duty 3. Oh my gosh. And then he forgot that he had played Modern Warfare. I let my dad play Modern Warfare, and then he, like a year later or so, he comes back and goes, "Hey, Todd, can I play this game?" And he goes, "Dad, you've played it." And he goes, "No, I haven't." "Yeah, you have." "No, I haven't." Oh, it's like, oh my gosh. So, but yeah, that I agree. That Super Bowl commercial was very well done, and I'm glad that people are resonating with it.
And yeah, because during that third commercial, again, when it basically highlights Breath of the Wild, but also the same kind, I think it pretty much switched up everything, including the world, if you
It
know what I
switched up.
mean. And because I didn't want to say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway, because it was newsworthy as well, because everybody, like one, I believe one person on like Reddit or NeoGAF basically said, like, as soon as that commercial showed, everything switched up for the game in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I
That
hate you,
was
Will.
great.
Because now I can't look at. Never mind. I'm gonna swallow my pride. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on. Especially since I stole Tom Brady's jersey. I had to get my revenge somehow. And yeah, just sticking on this thread of like, you know, switching things up.
Cool.
Nintendo. Released that, if you recall, when the Switch was announced, they kind of gave this picture of like the games that were coming out. Well, they released like an updated picture of that, and it's a lot fuller than it was before. And so, for any of the haters out there who have been saying, no, the Switch isn't having a lot of games, go find this updated list. And I will draw your attention to the bottom right-hand corner, which is the games that don't have release dates yet. The Pokemon logo is in that bracket.
Yeah.
So, and we all knew that Pokemon was coming to Switch. That was an inevitability. But the fact that they put it on that list means that it's in development right now, and we could get some news on that soon. I'm gonna make a bet for E3. So.
No doubt about it. Hopefully we get a teaser of some sort. No doubt
I'm
about that,
yeah.
yes.
I mean, whether it's Pokemon Stars or, you know, another attempt at a Pokemon true console game, I'm just saying I hope it's good, because Pokemon is so on a roll right now, and I don't want that to don't want that to end. Which, of course, brings us to the other franchise that's totally on a roll right now, Fire Emblem. Yes, Fire Emblem Heroes released last Thursday. And my gosh, the things I've been hearing, the things I've been seeing. And I'm on, like, you know, two or three Nintendo groups on Facebook, and I'm seeing so many things. Let's just talk about the highlights really quick. It's first day. First day. 2 million downloads and $2.9 million in revenue. First day.
First day.
First day.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. I mean, you always wonder, you know? I mean, we were talking about this, like, when the Fire Emblem Direct came out. We were like, my gosh, the game is coming out, what was it, like 12 days, 13 days, something like that. And we're like, is this too soon? And then, like, the hypes just started rolling in. We got these, like, character trailers. And you know, you wonder just who was going to turn out for this. You know, was it just going to be the hardcore crowd who made Fire Emblem what it was? Was it going to be the new casual fans who came in through Awakening or Fates and everything? But no, 2 million people, first day. And I haven't seen an updated number list yet, so maybe they're waiting till after today, because, you know, at the time of recording, this is the 1 week anniversary of it. But that's, I'm calling that a success.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, the interesting thing, I think, is the difference between the freemium model that this game has and compared to the Super Mario Run. Because
there it is! I knew it was coming.
The Super Mario Run was downloaded and purchased a lot more day one. Super Mario Run made $8.6 million day one, which you would expect. I mean, it's Mario compared
to
Fire Emblem.
It's most popular character in video game history, known around the world and all that.
But I don't know how much money Mario made after that, because only something like 3% of users who bought downloaded the trial bought the full game.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how much the long-term effects of the freemium will come through for Fire Emblem or Echoes, Fire Emblem Heroes. Because I've spent so much money on this game already.
We'll get to that, and we'll get to that. But which is also the other piece of news. Oh, sorry, were you gonna say something, Will?
No. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the other piece of news is that when you think like 2.9 million across, you know, 2 million players, you're thinking, okay, that's cool. That's like, you know, a dollar a person, maybe a little more. You know, there's those holdouts like me who don't like to spend money on games regardless. No, the balance is a little bit more imbalanced. We found articles, and this is legit, of people spending between $1,000 and $4,000 on Fireball. And remember one thing: at the time of this recording, it's been a week. You people have been spending thousands of dollars to get your characters, because that's the only explanation. I mean, can we all agree that's likely what they spent it all on was orbs?
It's a lot of cheddar.
Oh my gosh. Please, Tyler, make sense of this. Oh my gosh. Because you've spent money.
yeah. Well, the way they get you, at least the way they got me, and I'm sure, you know, there's a ton of people who are just like me where they just have this gut feeling that you're going to get the character that you need, you know? Yeah. You're going to get the gut feeling that you're going to get the character that you want. And you go in and you put the orbs down and you don't get it. And then you see that your percentages increase to get another 5-star character. And then you're like, do I really want to play for another 2 days to get these 20 orbs? Or do I just want to pay the stupid $10 and go again? And then you pay the stupid $10 and you go again. And then you probably don't get it and you have to keep going. It's definitely, it's snake-like, I think, in a lot of ways. There's nothing wrong with it. It's definitely in a consumer friendly in that you have the power to do what you want. I think there are plenty of orbs in the game. They're coming out with constant new ways to gain orbs, which is important. the only thing I think that would make it a little bit better is if there was cost less stamina to play each battle.
Yes.
You can only play like 4 or 5 battles and to get orbs at a time. I don't know if you need them for stamina for arena battles. I don't think you do.
No, it's crest. It's the sword crest.
Yeah, it's just a crest for that. So if they increase the stamina cost a little bit, it'd be easier to really rack up those orbs. But the way they are now...
You mean decrease the stamina cost?
Yes, sorry. Decrease the stamina cost so you can play more levels and get more orbs that way.
Yeah.
That would probably make people not buy as many orbs. But for me, I'm the first time I did it, I didn't get the character that I wanted. And I had to summon again, and I didn't want to waste time not summoning, so I just paid the money, and I summoned. And I got 5-star Marth, so it was totally worth it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how they get you. I mean, I like it. I don't mind it. If they decreased the stamina cost, I think the game would be a little bit better off.
I agree.
But as a Fire Emblem fan, I could not be more satisfied. We'll talk more about this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. But
yes,
go ahead, Will.
Yes. And yeah, I think that's one thing I have to agree with going to an article from Kotaku is like, as they describe it as a horny casino maker, and basically it is kind of like, I can see why people get that impression, like, it's a gambling thing, like, yeah, like, it pulls you in, oh, I'm gonna resist, no, but I don't need it, I definitely don't need it.
I need it!
I need it! And pretty much that's how they pretty much hook you. I mean, obviously that's kind of like the issue debate there is like, one, as long as you are paying the necessities, obviously your food bills, your electric bills, all that yada yada, then it's good. It is your money, but also at the same time, it's like it kind of develops a bad habit in a way. So I don't know. It's very debatable.
It's kind of, and let's be clear here. And I hate to use the term addiction, but Nintendo has always been good about making addicting games. That's why they've lasted this long. But it's kind of scary when I think about just how addicting, you know, doing the summons thing is. Because much like an addiction, if you don't get your fix, you're going to keep doing it.
Right.
And then
exactly. And then they even do the whole, oh, if you use more, it'll cost less. And so, like, the last few pull runs, because I wanted to get the most bang for my orb buck without paying, obviously, I've been waiting to get 20 orbs so I could get all 5 characters that were available in either Legendary Heroes or Deep Devotion. And so, like, I'm, like, I feel myself becoming like an addict suffering withdrawal when I don't get who I want.
Right.
Because I get the duplicates, or I get, you know, like characters who are okay, but I have no connection to, or I don't desire to have a connection to, I should probably say. And then I'm like begging for that 5-star. And I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the time is recording, I was desperate to do one more pull run before we did the podcast. And I had gotten a character, one character I didn't know, a character I knew but I didn't really want, 2 duplicates, and I am on the colorless orb, which is a staff or bow. And I'm like begging, I'm like, give me someone good, and out comes Takumi.
Sweet.
And I'm like, yes! My first 5-star a week in. I'm like, oh gosh, it's it's a casino. It's a waifu casino. It really is. It's really
waifu and husbando casino. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, one last piece of news, because it does actually relate to Fire Emblem. With the success, regardless of what you want to call it for, like, Super Mario Run, but with the success of Pokemon Go, Super Mario Run, Fire Emblem Heroes, I'll even go to Miitomo, we're all wondering what's next, who's next, and when. And Nintendo has come out and said officially that their goal is to release 2 to 3 mobile titles a year. And I want your thoughts on this, because obviously we got Fire Emblem, that's number 1 this year. Number 2 most likely is Animal Crossing, which got delayed to a little bit later this year, which means we likely are going to have one more. Do you think, I'll start with you, Tyler, do you think this is wise for them to limit themselves like this to 2 to 3 a year? And what do you think the third, I'll revise that. Who do you want for that third game this year?
I definitely think that it's the right strategy to only come out with 2 or 3 games a year, because I don't think it's smart for them to really focus too much on saturating that mobile market. You know, right now we have Mario Run, which fills a need. You know, it's a platformer, it's a runner, fills a need. Fire Emblem is a strategy game. That's another niche filled. Animal Crossing would be a great, when that comes out, I think will be another great fit for mobile, because it's a little bit more resource managey. It's like, you know, it's kind of Farmville-y, I guess.
True.
I think that'll be a huge hit too. And I don't think that it's smart for them to say, okay, you know, we need to get all of our guys on there. Like, I don't know what a Donkey Kong game would do on mobile right now. especially with Mario Run already out. So I think, you know, you space out your franchises, you put your heavy hitters out there, you know, what two to three every year is perfect. You're not going to oversaturate the market, and you're going to be able to fill in each specific gamer's taste with a different franchise. And as for the final series that I would want, it's hard for me to say. I mean, I've never played too many. I have the original of this series, but I haven't played the other ones. But F-Zero, I think, would be a pretty good fit because it's a racing thing, and you could probably do some fun stuff with it. I don't think it would be, you know, as awesome as a full F-Zero game, but I think you could do some cool stuff with customizing a car. Right, right. I think F-Zero would be a good fit, and I would absolutely download that immediately. So
nice. Very nice. Will?
I think I agree with going to, just releasing only 2 to 3 games a year, because as with the same argument, is like, one, you don't really want to inflate the mobile market, because again, we have Mario 1, we have Fire Emblem. I think that's a good enough time for being, and of course that also helps them focus on other things as well, regarding to the Switch. Like, regarding to other games, like other mobile games, I don't really have any particular ideas, particular franchises they should go on to, but as again, the Mario Run Fire Emblem is more or less a good, great test run to show them like what mobile games can do. And I think, because again, $2.6 million for Nintendo is a good amount of cheddar for a freemium game. So
yeah.
I think that's kind of good proof to them. Like, okay, it seems successful. We'll definitely have to make something else down the line, actually much more, a bit more quality into it, much more polished than what we have right now. So more or less, these Fire Emblem Heroes will probably be this, like, the staple where they should go next. So I think it's like, yeah, give us a good steady flow of mobile games. So yeah, 2 to 3 a year, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would definitely lead more into 3. That way you can say get one out every 4 months and capitalize on the big times of the market, you know, the early spring, the late summer, the holiday season, like what they did with Super Mario Run. But also, like you said, Will, it's about development time. There is no greater crime in video game development nowadays than rushing a game out before it's complete or before there's actually, like, you know, content for it. No Man's Sky. you know, these don't work, and for mobile games, that would even be a greater sin, because when I have a new job, a part-time job, and I've seen, you know, games that aren't as quality, even though you play them, you think, oh, this is quality, then you start really playing, and you go, oh, this isn't quality at all. If for Nintendo, they have this burden where the quality is expected of them, and especially now that Fire Emblem Heroes is out, which is, you know, a very good title, for them to falter after this, it would get them a lot of ridicule, and they can't afford that when they're trying to really push this mobile initiative. So I totally agree that they need to take their time, you know, give their teams time to polish. That's why I actually didn't mind the Animal Crossing thing being delayed, because A, Fire Emblem Heroes needs time to breathe. B, the Switch is coming out, and, you know, when it released, you know, like a month later, so they need to focus on that, and then they need to, you know, be sure to keep up with the Switch and all that, so, you know, they have enough on their minds without worrying about another big mobile title that they're going to be pushing. So yeah, let that happen, maybe around E3, maybe a little bit after, and then announce at E3 the third title for this year. Who do I want? It's complicated, because you've already taken out 3 of the big franchises with Pokemon Go, Mario, and obviously Fire Emblem. But there is a lot of potential. I think F-Zero would be cool, especially if you could work, like, motion controls, you know, like, into your phone, and, you know, like, actually, like, really getting into it. I definitely think Donkey Kong will come. Not this year, though, because, like Tyler said, you know, because they have Mario, and those are very similar platforms. I definitely want to see it in the Donkey Kong Country style, you know, because I think there's enough variance there that it could be fun. Maybe, like, a Donkey Kong Country Runner, like, Endless Runner, maybe. I think that could be cool. F-Zero's great. Also, maybe Star Fox, maybe.
Yes,
that'd be good.
Yes, yeah, like a real Star Fox game, not Star Fox Zero. and then obviously the desires just go on and on. You know, maybe a Metroid game, like I would, you know, how not maybe not like Hunters, like was on 3DS, but something similar. You know, something that has a game that wait for it has Samus in it. Yeah. Because so help me, the day that they reveal Federation Force 2 for the mobile initiative, everyone's gonna burn their phones. It's like no initiative now. But I am happy that Fire Emblem Heroes is doing so well, and that this is encouraging them to, you know, really, really keep going. Because, you know, with Pokemon Go, it was great, but there was still questions. With Mario, it was great, but then you had the backlash. You're having none of that with Fire Emblem. I mean, one of the big things that you talked about, Tyler, was when Super Mario Run came out, the reviews were horrible. Like, people bought the game, but the reviews are horrible. I was actually, I kid you not, I got Takumi, right? And, like, I'm celebrating Takumi, and then this pop-up goes, thanks for downloading the app. Would you like to review it? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I just got Takumi. Yeah, I can review this. I can review this. And so I give it, you know, 5 stars. I write a review, and I'm noticing that the overall review is 4.6.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. So, yeah. And then I swear we're gonna get to this big, you know, impressions thing. But the other big news from Fire Emblem Heroes, two bits of news from Fire Emblem Heroes. One was we got the official final result of the Choose Your Legends poll. And there was some fascinating numbers. Now, not so ironically, the winners were not changed from when we reported them the last time. Okay, meaning that the number one for the males was Ike from a Path of Radiance version, with Roy and Hector from Binding Blade and Blazing Blade, respectively, coming in second and third. But the real bit twist, and this is a twist because of numbers that we didn't have the last time, Lin from Fire Emblem Blazing Sword Rekka no Ken, Blazing Blade, won handily with nearly 50,000 votes, which is, like, what was it, 16,000 more than Ike? And even better than that, this is a key thing, Lucina from Awakening was in second before 2000 with Tharja from Awakening at 29,000. That's the biggest gap in both polls, was Tharja, or pretty close, but was Tharja to Lucina, which shows how much love, and like compare Tharja to Lin, and it's literally 20,000, like 400, which shows the love of those two characters compared to everyone else. So as reported by Nintendo, Ike, Roy, Hector, and then Lin, Lucina, Tharja will be getting special legend outfits in Fire Emblem Heroes to be coming soon. So, are you happy with these results? I mean, I know we talked about these before. Are you okay with these results?
I'm okay with the results. Go ahead, Will. It's all you.
Yeah, like, for the male side, yeah, I'm glad Ike is up there because, again, everybody loves Ike. I'm very happy.
We like Ike! We like Ike!
Yeah, everybody likes Ike, and of course, he's just a powerhouse. He's everybody, ever since Brawl, we loved him for the most part. And, of course, Roy, which, yeah, Roy.
Roy was the biggest surprise for me out of the six because, again, Roy was only in Melee and then, obviously, the most recent version. And then his game technically never came over.
Yeah.
So that shows his love for that character, that he was second above everyone else.
And then, of course, Hector, which one of my actually friends actually got Hector.
Oh, gosh.
So, 5-star Hector. And like, yeah,
five. Oh, gosh. Killing me here.
And so I'm glad for that. But on the women's side, the Waifu Wars, oh, my God. Yes, I'm going to confirm that's the Waifu Wars. And yeah, Lin out is pretty much that. Lucina, yeah, she just had unparalleled popularity. No doubt about that. I mean, Tharja, I mean, yeah, that big gap. I mean, yeah, I always thought that Tharja probably had a good fan favorite, that good niche audience that would support her. But wow, compared to Lucina's, like.
Yeah, that was, again, that was the most surprising for me.
I'm just kind of sad that Kami couldn't make it. Ah, Kami and Nisama, but oh, well, yeah. I'll live.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, just complete blatant honesty. Would it really have been better that she had gotten another outfit?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
just
a fair
saying.
Maybe.
I'm just
that's
saying.
That's a very fair question.
That's a very fair. And I ask that because it also goes for Tharja, because I saw someone make a meme of how Tharja looks in Awakening versus how she looks in Heroes. There's like a gap that wasn't there before. If you get my drift, that there was something that was covered up before, but is not covered up now.
So ne, so ne.
Just saying.
And it also, yeah, because funny enough, you bring up the Casa, because like actually there were data miners who actually went into Fire Emblem, and apparently like they found some costumes for Robin and Darja in Christmas outfits. I'm not sure you've heard of this.
I have not. That's
It was
fascinating,
actually
though.
explained it on Game Explain, but basically they based there was from what I've heard is basically Nintendo was supposed to release this game in the December month of the holidays,
I think I remember that.
which includes like Darja in a very sad holiday-esque, while Robin was actually holding a lance, but actually a Christmas tree.
Yeah, I
It,
saw
it's
that
a
Robin picture was pretty hilarious, like.
So yeah, that's basically what they found in the data, apparently.
Interesting. What about you? What about you, Tal? Are you happy with this poll?
I am. I'm the main reason I'm happy is because they're giving the second placement costumes too. So
Yeah,
I think
second
that.
and third.
Yes, I think that was very nice. Are they giving the thirds? I know they're definitely
Yeah,
giving.
I heard second and third.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's. I mean, that's even better. So, yeah, they gave. You know, they gave everybody what they wanted. I think Roy, our boy, deserves that love. So he. I'm totally fine with the results. Now, did any of my picks get on there? No, even though, I would have picked Ike, but I knew Ike would. You knew Ike would be in the top, so I strategically voted elsewhere. But yeah, I'm happy with the results. I think it was
Yeah, I
a
think
good
the
poll.
fans I think the fans spoke about the who the true male hero of Fire Emblem is. Fans just yeah. What was that, Tyler? Was it Marth and Kromp? No, they're down the list.
If
They're
you
down there.
combine Marth's
They're...
votes,
Oh, God.
he's in the top. Now, Ike, of course, got first despite being split across two games. So
Wasn't
it's
Ike voted? Wasn't Ike voted in twice?
he was
Ooh.
first and fifth.
That says volumes. Yeah. All right, and then finally the other big last piece, I swear is the last piece of news before we get into our big thing about Heroes. Nintendo has confirmed that they're gonna be releasing, I think it was a bi-weekly content for Nintendo or for Fire Emblem Heroes, and they're gonna keep supporting it until players don't want to play it anymore.
Yes, I've heard.
So that's huge, because you always want, because we knew there was that big debacle about, Super Mario Run and the DLC there. Or should I say lack of DLC there? And then obviously Pokemon Go has that infinite potential of DLC with the character with the Pokemon generations, but with Fire Emblem, we knew that there was characters gonna be left out. I wasn't expecting a certain group who we'll talk about in the impressions to be left out, but it makes sense now that I think about it. And so for them me to know that, they're gonna keep coming, they're gonna keep doing these releases, and there's gonna be a lot more coming, it makes me think this game is gonna be successful for a very long time.
It's definitely gonna be a good cheddar maker for Nintendo, because again, like, they only, as far as we've seen, the whole cast, they only released a certain amount of characters. So, and there's also like other characters that have not been released, like shown off yet. I can't really remember. Like, I know they.
Ursula.
Okay, yeah, and like I think there's also other major characters, probably in Awakening and Fates, that they probably. I know they released the majority, but I think there's maybe one or two that haven't missed yet. I don't
I
know.
think so. I think
Yeah,
so.
where's Laurent? There's no Laurent.
There's
There's
no
no.
Ursula. Has anyone gotten the confirmed Ryuma?
Yes,
Ryoma?
yes,
Yeah,
Ryoma is
actually,
in.
Matt
Yeah.
Mercer, the voice actor for Ryoma, actually got him.
Huh.
Did he really? He
That's
did.
awesome.
It's on his Twitter. Yes, check it out.
That's
That's
awesome.
awesome.
That's awesome. But like, I heard Hector was a myth for a while until someone actually got him,
No,
and
Hector's
but
real.
yeah,
Yeah,
but
and go ahead, go ahead.
no, I'm just saying there's a lot of games that haven't been touched yet, and so if even if they just say like let's say bi-monthly, which I think would be a stretch, but like bi-monthly, we just like a massive character pack of like the Path of Radiance crew, the Radiant Dawn crew, the Genealogy of Holy War. Maybe for May, do a Gaiden. You never know. That would be a huge boost, I think, to the guy to the Echoes sales, is if those characters came in. But
No doubt about that, they're gonna do something like that, because when the game's gonna be released, they probably gonna put it alongside it, so no doubt about that.
I would be very surprised, because I think that'd be a huge missed opportunity. So, what about you, Tyler?
Oh, sorry, there was yelling going on downstairs. I completely apologize, but I heard my parents were screaming about something.
They probably found out you spent like $40 on that game on the game, and they're
That has
like,
got to be what it
"Gotta be
was.
what it was." I'm like,
Sorry, I am usually I they don't know what was going on in there, but I heard banging and my attention was averted.
Those credit card bills, man,
those
they're
credit card bills
they're
are
just gonna
up
screw
there.
You every time.
Those credit
no,
card
we're just talking about, you know, the content for Fire Emblem Heroes is gonna be coming out.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Sorry.
And your thoughts?
Yes, the fact that they said that they're coming out with like two new chapters monthly, which is perfect because we'll get our Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn chapter
hopefully
next month, because Ike should be featured next month.
He should be. He's gosh. Dang it, it's Ike!
Yeah, right.
How is he not in the game yet?
I have literally no idea, but it is good that they're going to continue to keep supporting the game for as long as people play it, and I think the way the game is structured, it definitely has legs, so I could see myself playing this for years, because it really, you only need to play it for 10 minutes to have your fun with it, so.
I agree. Alright, so we've stalled long enough. We've been playing this for the week, and I intentionally told the guys to keep it light last week. Again, go check out that episode. It was really, really fun. But I told them, because I wanted to do a nice big segment about what we've been experiencing with Fire Emblem Heroes and everything. So if you've been wondering, what are our thoughts? What are our feelings? What are our impressions? What are our just overall everything about this game? You're going to find out right now in the first ever meeting of the NEP Secret Society. Yes, that was dramatic. Thank you. We took like 10 minutes trying to think of that name. But the first order of business of the society is to give our impressions, our thoughts of Fire Emblem Heroes. Because we've been playing this for a week, on and off, you know, obviously, when timing and stamina would allow. Ha ha ha. But no, this is not our review, because I'm actually going to say that for another podcast where we literally truly delve into this, and I want to at least try and wait for the first DLC pack to come out, if it should come out soon. But Tyler, I'm going to start with you because it is your birthday. This is my birthday present to you.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Ike is still better though. but give us, you got, okay, 5 minutes all Ooh. To yourself, all to yourself. Give us your thoughts, your feelings. What do you think about the gameplay? What do you think about the art? What do you think about summons? You have the whole floor. Wait for it. Go.
Wow, what an honor. Okay, so the first thing I need to get into is the gameplay, naturally, because I felt that this game was going to be, it was going to have the Nintendo polish. You could tell from watching the Fire Emblem Direct, but I wasn't convinced about the tactical element of the game, which is pretty important for Fire Emblem. And I am happy to report that the game's very strategic, I think. There's a lot of good maps, even with the 48 tiles that they've been given. There are some creative maps. And the weapons triangle, it totally is in full force. When I first started, I was thinking, you know, I'm not seeing a huge damage difference either way, so I don't think it matters that much. But once you get higher into the levels, you start to really notice that the, you know, putting your units in the right spot with matching up the colors is just as important as you would expect it to be. It feels like a true Fire Emblem experience on the go, even though there's no hit and avoid rates, and the skills are definitely limited. It's perfect. They perfectly captured the spirits of the game, of the classic series. If you enjoy the gameplay of Fire Emblem Heroes, you should absolutely get Awakening or Birthright or any of the games, because you will like them. The gameplay is even better, but they did capture it perfectly here. They did a good job with the maps. They did a good job with the gameplay. That's all great. The art and the polish is beyond any other cell phone app. I am not a mobile gamer, and I've never played, like, I'm not a Clash of Clans guy. I just don't like mobile games, and I was worried that I wouldn't like this game, despite the fact that I love Fire Emblem, because I have such a high expectation for what the series should be, because every game is so good. And the polish on this game, it has exceeded my expectations, given the mobile platform. I love the battle animations. There's critical quotes for every character, even characters who didn't have them, like Pala and Catria and all the old characters have been given totally new life and new personality. In a lot of ways, I think one of the biggest strengths of this game is for people who have played Awakening or Fates and didn't play the older games, because it definitely, it introduces the characters well, it captures their personalities, and it definitely makes you want to know more, you know? When I played Shadow Dragon, I enjoyed it because, you know, it's Fire Emblem, the strategy's all there, but the characters didn't have personality. They didn't add supports or anything like that. They were just kind of units. And now my mind is like, I wonder how the White Wings, Pala, Katria, and Est, I wonder what their story is, and I want more. And I just think that really goes to the details that they went and putting on the design of these characters, the critical quotes of these characters, all of that stuff is awesome. Also amazing is the fact that they've actually created a tier list for this game. Which is, you know, people, what does that matter? To me, it shows that there really is a level of strategy that you have to put into this when you form your team. Right now, I have Tiki, a 5-star red unit, a Marth, 5-star red unit, and a Robin, a 5-star blue unit.
Stop rubbing it in.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you spend $60 or whatever you spend on it. So, but it's, you know, I see how other people constructed their teams, it's all very calculated. You can't just throw out a squad of nobodies and succeed on, at least in the battle arena, or have the most optimal team. You really need to, you know, consider your characters carefully and craft the skills to complement one another. Every single decision that you make has a serious impact on the way you play the game, which is unbelievable given the simplistic nature of it's every map is 48 squares and you can only bring 4 units. So the detail on this game is excellent. The combat is excellent. The strategy is all there. It's great. The only thing I will say before I give up the floor is a couple quick negatives. I don't like the fact that you only have 3 dueling crests. I mean, I have so many items to replenish those right now, but if they ever slow down giving you items to replenish your stamina and your dueling crests, I could see that being an issue, because then you know, if you want to play, you can't. You have to spend an orb, which would be irritating. So outside of that minor gripe, there's so much more content to come, and I can't wait to see what they do with this, because it's an unbelievable start, I feel, and it's definitely the best mobile game that I've ever played by far.
Very nice. And only 10 seconds over. Very impressive time.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, Will, 5 minutes. Go.
Alrighty, so when I just picked up Fire Emblem for the first time, like on Fire Emblem Heroes, it's just, oh my god, it pretty much took in it. I don't know, I'm trying not to sound repetitive, but basically it is more or less a Fire Emblem game, but just lightened up for the mobile version. Like, if you haven't played Fire Emblem before, this is definitely a good introduction to, like, what the series is basically about. It pretty much keeps everything, the weapon triangle, the critical arts, basically the whole strategy of between, like, you want to go for swords, your axe wielders, your mages, all that, yes. I mean, heck, I'm just glad I actually got my whole 5-star characters of 5-star King, Kamiya, Takumi, all these characters. Like, yeah, that's one thing I had to give props to, is like, yeah, unfortunately there is RNG, the random number generator of the, it's just, it could be so very unkind, so that's one thing I gotta give gripes about. However, like, the artwork itself is just, as I said, it's phenomenal, like, because each separate character is done by a specific artist, which just, yeah, I say that it's a pretty nice touch to, like, see different art styles, especially, like, ones that are not, like, originally HD. Like, for example, like, the first Fire Emblem game and so forth, like, that Marth and other characters. It's just great. I mean, if I have anything to gripe about, it's probably, like, the consistency of VA. Because, like, yeah, the funny thing is, like, Lin is voiced by Wendy Lee, but she also sounds Seria. In Fire Emblem Awakening, but Seria is voiced by another person instead of Wendy Lee. So it's like you're voicing Lin, but you can't voice your own character again. It's like, yeah, that kind of like threw,
yeah,
like, That's the little bug peeved me off a little bit. I mean, you're right there, so you couldn't voice the other character, really? But I don't know. But I digress. But everything else is, yeah, the map itself, very easy, very, I mean, heck, just when I'm working, I could easily finish up a match in like 2 or 3 minutes, given if my characters are strong enough. But, and actually going through Lunatic, it's just, oh my lord, it's so hard. Lunatic is, yeah, it's Lunatic. It's gonna drive you up the wall. And, but just basically trying to sum it up as rapid as quickly as possible. It's like, if any have to do have to complain or have to critiques about it, one is definitely the stamina system, because again, only 50 stamina, it's kind of limiting. It's definitely limiting. I kind of want to have more, but I can understand like why, you know, like why Nintendo doesn't want people to just basically burn through the game, because again, it's only like 9 chapters. And again, I also shared similar views regarding to like the potion, the stamina potion, the dueling crests, like, and you only gotta wait until the next state to refill. Not like, I don't know, like for dueling crests every 15 minutes or 30 minutes, I don't know, or an hour. Yeah, like other mobile games, that's also another complaint. And of course, naturally, is the debatable freemium. Basically, like, do you want to pay extra for orbs? It's really up to you. But again, you can see the hook. It's that addictive habit. And like, do you want to get my 5-star waifu, 5-star husband? the debate is there. Like, but a lot of people don't really spend money for freemium games, because unless you really want to. But as far as concerned, personally for me, I think it's like, take my money, Nintendo, take my money. I don't care, I want my husbando. I mean, I was surprised that people actually got Darja. I was like, and Kagero. It's like,
Kagero's art is amazing. Sorry, you have the floor, but
yes, exactly. So, just grinding up for those orbs is like, it's up there. But overall, as that, I also really liked Fire Emblem Heroes. It's just, again, great representation of Fire Emblem on a mobile, and it's just to the mass public who doesn't have a Nintendo 3DS. I really liked it. I like it.
Wow, 50 seconds early. Very impressive, Will. I will gladly take your 50 seconds for my own. Okay, so as hopefully you all know now by listening to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, I'm a huge Fire Emblem guy, just like Will. Or, sorry, just like Tyler. Not that you aren't Will, but not as big as Tyler and me. But naturally, I had reservations about Fire Emblem Heroes. I honestly didn't play Super Mario Run because I had no interest. But this was big for me because I love Fire Emblem. My bad luck with the summons aside. Again, I could tell you horror stories. Fire Emblem Heroes is a huge success for me. I mean, I said earlier in this podcast that, you know, I gave a 5-star review. That was not out of, you know, fanboy loyalty or whatever. I'd really love this game. What I really love about it is a lot of what these guys have already talked about before. It's perfect Fire Emblem strategy. A lot of the stuff is in there that you will recognize. But it also, if you're a new face to the franchise and you've just been hearing about this game, want to try it out, and you know it's free, it's so easy to pick up and go. You can finish matches in minutes, if not less. You have this wide variety and cast of characters to pick and choose from. It's a beautiful thing. And one thing I didn't expect, and this is, you know, I'm a longtime fan of Fire Emblem, or at least in the context of I've tried to play all the American versions of the game that have come out, I get these new characters who I don't recognize, and I go, well, who are they from? And so I would go to Google, and I would look up, like, say, Est from Fire Emblem. It's like, oh, she's one of the, you know, the White Wing sisters. And, you know, that was really cool. And I had a connection to these characters that I never really knew before. Or I got a 4-star Kane, and I knew who he was, you know, gored by the horns of the bull, you know, and all that. Yeah. And he was so cool. I mean, even though I personally had only played him once because of Shadow Dragon, I had this instant connection to the character. And seeing these characters who I don't recognize, along with the ones who I remember from, like, Awakening Fates and whatnot, you know, I have this joy of raising them and seeing what happens. And this game is not easy in the standpoint of, you know, it's, you know, yes, it is pick up and play, pick up and go, but there, like I said, there's a lot of strategy here. And my first team was Anna, Alphonse, Sharana, who's easily one of my favorite of the new characters, and Long Q, I battled with them for a long time. Then I hit a bloody brick wall because I couldn't advance because I didn't have any long range units because I didn't think I needed them. I mean, I had Anna and I had Serena and I had Long Q, you know. But then I was like, okay, let's see who else I have. And so I put Kane and Shauna and Virion and Felicia all together, and all of a sudden I started realizing that there's so much more to this game if you pick the right units for the right job. And then I made a third team, and I had Perry from Fates, and I had upgraded my Long Q. I got Baruka. She was great. And then Oberon. So, oh my gosh, I just realized that's three Fates characters, and then Long Q. Could you imagine, just for the record, that group together? Okay, Long Q doesn't like women, you know. Oberon's a fashion designer. Perry's insane, and Baruka is like, "Where's my target?" You know, like, oh my gosh, Cho is like, "Oh my gosh, I feel bad for Long Q, a guy surrounded by girls." But you know, I have such more appreciation for these characters now because Oberon's a beast in the game. Perry's not too bad either, and Baruka it was great also. And then I had Xerxes, who was also a beast, and I'm just like, I would never. I only like lightly play with these characters when I got Awakening or Fates or like Shadow Dragon. But now I feel more invested in them because of the 4v4 gameplay. Because when you're in Awakening and Fates and Path of Radiance and Sacred Stones, you have like what 8 to 10, if not more, characters you're trying to balance, and sometimes you just get lost in the connection of it all. But with Fates, you have to be connected to them because these are the four characters you are raising through the training tower, through the arena duels, through the story mode, trying to get them up in higher levels so you can break through the story and then do it on hard and then do it on lunatic. And I know all the characters I have in my teams by heart now, and I know the characters I don't have. And I now that I have Takumi, I'm going to be starting another run, and I'm going to be like, okay, let's see who I can get with this one. And then if I get another summons, I'm like, who can I put on a team from this group? And I love that. Now, yes, I do have gripes. The stamina costs are way too high at times. Like, to get to those 20 orbs that I mentioned earlier that got me Takumi, I was playing on Lunatic because I was running out of ways to get orbs. And for reasons known only to me, I haven't, like, you know, beaten the game on normal yet. And not saying I'm lacking in any skills, let that be clear. But, you know, I was using, like, stamina potions just to stay in the game so I could get this 20 orbs. And, like, especially on like lunatic mode, you're doing 11, 12 stamina per level, and I literally got that 20th orb with like two to spare. And yeah, I had potions, but that's kind of not the point. And there was like a halving bonus in the training tower where I have easily spent my most time. But you know, now that's gone, and so you know you're spending like two, four, five, six of your stamina, and that adds up. It really needs to go down. And then they need to have more ways to do orbs than just getting them in story mode. I honestly think they should increase what you get on story mode because one per is, you know, it's slow. And the way I've been getting them is through the in-game app bonus, you know, but that's going to be ending soon. And so I'm losing two orbs a day because of that. I'm like, I kind of need a little bit more here. And I know they're wanting you to pay, but I ain't spending a dime. You know, I'm doing this the honorable way, you
You
know?
are.
So. But yeah, all in all, you know, some gripes aside, I have been working so hard to play this game, to play it and to get my characters, and you know, now I have new life because I've finally gotten a 5-star character. I got three Felicias. I don't, and none of them are 4-star. I don't need 3-star Felicias, you know? So,
Yep.
yeah, but overall, I am very happy with this game.
Well, I want to be pivot back to this. I think the tier list is pretty interesting because
Go
you said
ahead.
you got a Takumi,
Yeah.
who is widely regarded as the best character in the
Yes.
game.
Really? Oh, I'm gonna have
Yes.
fun leveling him up
Yes.
then.
It's Takumi and Hector right now
Really?
Yes.
are the top two characters. They got Takumi has like a ridiculous ability apparently that
Yes.
you can like counter everybody who's close to you or something. Do you know how that works, Will?
Exactly. Like, it doesn't matter if it's one space or right next to it, he will counter. Yes, it is broken as hell. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Don't
And
fix it, Nintendo!
yeah.
Takumi is broken!
He's got the Fujin Yuumi out there, so he dominates. But yeah, so Takumi is number one, and along with Hector, and swordsman Lin and Ryoma are the top two.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that so much.
And then you also have, I think, for your Red Dragon, Tiki is supposed to be really, really high ranked. And Male Robin is also extremely high ranked too. I'm trying to find the exact list right
Ooh,
now.
gender bias.
There it is. Here's tier one for red characters: Lucina Sword, Leo Magic, Lynn Sword, Ryoma Sword, Tiki Young Dragonstone. Then the tier two red characters are Crom, of course. Crom is a man.
Of course.
Tharja and a Tiki Adult. And the third tier is Kayn, Corrin Mayle, Grog, Lilina from Roy's game, Ogma, who's awesome, his art is so cool. Roy's our boy, Marth, and Kadia. Those are your best ratings. If you are playing and you've gotten any of those, you are looking good.
I have Kayn at 4-star and I have Takumi, so I guess I'm doing okay. Still want Lynn. Lynn is like right there at the top of who I want.
Yeah. I just started picking from Deep Devotion to try to get. That's another cool thing that I wanted to talk about actually was the way they split up those things. We'll get that to that in a second. The best blue characters tier one is of course all of our waifu Cordelia, Robin,
Glorious Cordelia.
Robin Male, Azura,
Ooh,
and
really?
Nahui.
Yes.
Azura and Nahui. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody. I've never faced an Azura.
I have not either.
I
I was,
have.
you have?
Yes, I
Where
have.
was it?
I think it's one of the arena duos, but yeah, Azura is pretty. Yeah, she's pretty useful.
Interesting. Interesting.
I love Azura, so that's awesome.
She was my wife in Birthright.
Yeah, it's a great
Broke
pick.
my heart when she died.
Yeah.
My wife is gone.
Spoilers.
Okay, spoilers, whatever.
Yeah, she doesn't die, by the way. Or does she? Tier two, Abel, Corrin female with the Dragonstone, and Lindy, the magic user from Shadow Dragon.
Huh.
And the tier three, Hinoka, Catria, which is weird. She's the only Whitewing that high. Donnell, and Sully.
Wait a minute, I thought isn't Cordelia? Oh, you mean like the title Whitewing, not like the class?
Yeah, I
Because
mean,
okay, because
yeah.
Cordelia you said was number
Right, yeah,
one.
Cordelia is she's the best blue unit. Of course, I mean best. And the green units, Camilla, of course,
Of course.
That's
number
right.
one.
That's right.
Faye, Dragonstone, from Roy's game, Binding Blade. Hector, as I had said, tier two, Cecilia, magic user, Merrick, magic user, Nino, magic user, and Raven, axe user. Raven is one of my favorite Fire Emblem characters.
Wow.
Arthur and Minerva are in tier three, and yeah, tier four is a bunch of slop, but
Arthur is
Church
that
is in there.
high? That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so they oh yeah, and then of course the gray, Takumi is the number one character in the entire game.
Obviously.
Yeah, I love Takumi too. I'm so happy. He's one of my favorite Fire Emblem characters. Elise is tier two, along with Felicia and Jorge or
Really?
Torch.
Felicia?
Yeah, Felicia. With a shuriken.
Respect.
She beats tier three with Kaigoro, Saizo, and Maria, the statue.
Wow.
Oh,
Yeah,
and Sakura is also in
that's
there.
saying something.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not notably not on the top tiers, I think. Lissa from Awakening, you would kind of expect her to be a high ranked healer, but she's not. And Frederick is also low for the green units, which I think Frederick, I thought he'd be higher because he's pretty popular.
And there's obviously a lot of characters that just aren't on the list, so maybe they either didn't detail it, they just didn't think they were that powerful.
Right, like
So
yeah, Paolo, like one of
there's a lot,
my new loves.
or Baruka, who I swear is a tank. Xershi is amazing. Orboro is a boss. Her heavy spear can like eliminate like any knight or the like the heavy armored characters regardless of type.
Yeah, that is pretty
It's
sweet.
like she is my tank, and Xershi was right up there too. And Baruka is a surprise for me, but
Yeah,
yeah.
Xershi did get an honorable mention, so she's probably above average, but she wasn't in the top three tiers, but she was noted as an honorable mention on the thing I'm looking at.
Okay, I just thought of something. Xershi's wyvern is called Minerva,
Yes.
which so what would happen if Minerva met Minerva?
That's a phenomenal question.
Snack, like I could just see like Minerva looking at Minerva, and then Xershi comes around, and goes snack time, Minerva, and both of them look at her, and she's like, "What?" And notice I didn't say which Minerva was looking at which Minerva, so you could figure that out on your own. But yeah, I definitely want to go with what you were talking about, Tyler, with how they're segmenting the summons.
Yes.
Legendary Heroes and Deep Devotion. What are your thoughts like overall? Was this a wise move?
It was to me, it's a game changer because Otherwise, we'd be picking. You could get duplicates. We'd be picking from the same.
I have gotten duplicates, Tyler. The struggle is real.
I have gotten Laszlo like 5 times.
Oh, Laszlo.
I know. I love Laszlo, but like, I don't love him, so I want to summon a 3-star Laszlo 5 times. But
I only need
great.
1 maid, Felicia. Thank you.
Right. But the way they segment it, you can go pick who you want. So they also have the focus characters in each group. So if you have a 3% chance of getting a 5-star, you also can add 3% to get the focus character. So I think you really have a 6% chance of getting more.
Wait, say that again? How does that work?
Now, I'm not certain how the math works on this, but you know how it says focus characters? They have 5-star focus?
Yes.
Each pack has 4 focus characters.
Right.
And you can... It means it's not. At first, I thought it might mean that there's a different version that's 5-star, but even better. But it's not. It means you have a higher likelihood of drawing one of those characters.
Yes.
So I believe, and Will can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it means that it'll tell you how much percent chance you have to draw a 5-star character. So if you don't draw one for a while, you'll have a higher chance of getting one.
Yes, it increases.
Yes. Which is why Todd's luck has been historically bad.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've gotten some good ones. I mean, again, I got Kane, Cherishi's, Perry, Baruka. You know, I've gotten good characters, but it's just I want my Lin, and you know, I finally got Takumi and all that stuff. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I think you add the two numbers together. So if it says you have a 3.75 chance of drawing a 5-star focus, I believe is it just that character like. Because I guess that would give you a 3.75 chance of drawing a Marth, and Marth is also in on the regular 5-star pool. So if you draw a red character, let's say, and it's the 5-star focus, that's probably an independent 3.75 chance that you'll get that. But you can also add that to the Marth, who's also just in the 5-star pool as well, which is, you know, you had a 3.75 chance of drawing a 5-star character. So you really have probably like a 4-5% chance of drawing the character that you want, the focus character that you want, whereas you would just have a 3.75 chance of drawing a 5-star character in general. It's really confusing, but just know that you have a higher chance of drawing the focus character in each group. So for Deep Devotion, that's Camilla, Takumi, Roy, and Lin.
So, no, yeah.
Which is pretty cool, I think. I love how they do that because, you know, you're right. I need a Lin right now, although I kind of am looking for a Hector or Camilla because I need a green unit. But I keep going to Deep Devotion now because I used to just, because I love Marth, I had to get a Marth. And I kept drawing until I got Marth from the Legendary Heroes. But now I'm like, okay, let's fill out my team more. Let's go and play our hand at the Deep Devotion lot. So.
Yeah. I think I agree. I think we didn't know about this going into the game. And then she's like, okay, let's do some summons. Wait a minute, there's 2 groups? Okay. That's kinda cool. And it's brilliant because A, it gives them the excuse of dividing up the characters, and B, it gives us a focus, for lack of a better word, of saying, you know, okay, I want this character. You know, I've been trying to alternate back and forth. So now that I got Takumi, I'm going to go back into Legendary Heroes and see if I can get, like, Robin or Lucina or someone like that. And this also gives them the freedom when, say, like, Path of Radiance, Radiant Dawn comes in, they could do, like, Radiant Fighters or something like that, and then put the Path of Radiance characters, put the Radiant Dawn characters in there, maybe put Genealogy, the Holy War characters in there, that way they're not, you know, just thrown into these other groups, and then say, oh yeah, let's see who we can get in there. That's money right there, and I could see someone on this panel buying, you know, doing another $60 worth of that just so they could get someone from those games. So I think it's rather brilliant. And again, like we already talked about how addicting it is to, you know, summon and then summon again and then try and get more summons and to get the characters that you want. So I really like that. Will?
Right. It's just, again, the whole game itself is very appealing and definitely, again, it appeals to everybody for more or less. I basically love the fact that, again, I'm taking it on the go, play it at work, and just basically trying to get as much as I can. Yes, it still has some things that I have to improve regarding to, yes, grinding for feathers, grind for orbs, a lot of things that could definitely be improved upon. I mean, there's nothing like other, like, established mobile games, for example. Like, I've been playing Brave Frontier, and they have been in the game for, like, a good 3 years since, and like they have a lot to, Nintendo has a lot to learn regarding to like how to kind of improve Bonfire Emblems. But so far, again, as I said, this is a very great first step regarding to how they're gonna continue on in the mobile market. I mean, yeah, because before I forget this stuff, because like you were saying regarding to how they summon the heroes, because I can only imagine like if you actually summon a 5-star Ike, it's like
I will faint. I will like literally like. Right. I will try and take like a selfie of myself in my petrified state and be like, I got him!
Right, a 5-star. I just want a 5-star Darja, please.
Yeah.
Or Kageno. Any waifu characters, I'll be a happy camper. So, yeah, and going to the whole, like, yeah, buying orbs is just gonna hook you. Give in. You know you want it. But it's, again, it's like, that's the addicting part of it. But again, that's us human nature. We like to have that case. I mean, I think MatPat had a good game theory about it. Like, that's one thing we always like to buy is Overwatch loot boxes or the feed prey. We just want that error. Like, yeah, we want more. We want to more or less screw ourselves over in the chance that like, if we do get it, we get it. If we don't get it, it just continues to push us further and more. That's how human behavior works.
Yep. Yeah. We will get it!
Well, you brought up Brave Frontier, and I've seen a lot of people comparing this game to Final Fantasy Brave Frontier, correct?
Brave Frontier. I mean, there's also another one called Final Fantasy Brave Exvius and Mobius, but I've been playing Brave Frontier for a long time, and it is very similar as regard to the Summoner story. But again, Brave Frontier has like I believe 3 years behind it to again with raids, PvPs, much more established in the genre. While Fire Emblem is like again is going to a separate franchise and basically because again Brave Frontier has a lot of heroes, while Fire Emblem is like a good small amount. So that's why you see many repeats and all.
But yeah. I would like to note that small means you know still like. What, 100 characters at least?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's definitely, like comparatively, it's not as many, but there's a lot.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
There's a lot. And we know there's more coming, so, yeah.
It is coming. Winter's
now, do you
coming.
Think Fire Emblem has the potential to last in popularity for that long as Brave Frontier? As somebody who's played Brave Frontier, like...
As far as I've gotten from seeing so far, it's definitely a good start. If they're gonna try to make it up to like a 3 years thing, that's gonna be remains to be seen. Because again, like we got like how many characters are in the universe of Fire Emblem? Because like
too many to count.
So it's depending on how Nintendo's gonna like continue to make characters of Fire Emblem. Heck, it perhaps is gonna be the new Fire Emblem Switch game to come out. It's gonna add more characters and then gonna put in more in Fire Emblem Heroes, which is gonna continue the story. I don't know what's gonna happen. Because again, Brave Frontier had more like almost 5,000, like almost 3,000 heroes,
really,
including common,
wow.
Like common monsters, heroes, summoners, all that, yada yada.
Jeez, wow.
So... I'm not gonna say there's 5,000 Fire Emblem characters because I know there hasn't been that many games, but there's at least I would say, gosh, closer to at least no over 1,000, no hesitation, no. No, over 1,000. Maybe 2,000? Maybe close? Maybe?
Maybe including villains, all
yeah.
side characters, then yes.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, just looking at, like, you know, Radiant Dawn and Path of Radiance and all the characters you can get in there between, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, it's a lot. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
But as far as concerned, like, again, like, if they know how to, like, continue to promote, like, for example, like, with the new game, new release promotion of 2 orbs per day. Yeah, continue to give us, like, keep on feeding us a good amount. Like, not, obviously not to break the back yourself, but continue to feed us orbs, continue to feed us all these good goodies for ourselves. Continue to hook their customers in, because, again, that's what keeps us coming, and of course that's gonna maybe want us to spend money. Heck, I know I spend money on this thing just to get my first 5-star heroes.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot. They make a lot of their money in situations like that I was in, where you go in to summon a couple of heroes, you might not have the full lot, but you really want to get that guy. I think that giving more orbs will promote more people buying more orbs, honestly, even though it might not make sense. I feel that once you're in that summoning mode, that's when the addiction hooks you. Because if you go through and you don't get the character that you want, you think, the next time I'll get it. I gotta get my orbs and I gotta get them now.
That was me tonight, just saying.
Right. Okay. Yes. And that's pretty much the trend with regard to many mobile games. Like, they continue to, like, give you, like, free orbs, basically the orbs, the those jewels or emerald jewels, whatever it has to help you summon. Like that's the main trend of mobile games. As long as you continue to go and keep on like at a good steady rate, because if you continue to give orbs like candy, then yeah, you're gonna keep your customers happy and perhaps even make some cheddar on the side.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I gotta stop this right here. I mean, we call this episode, you know, heroic impressions, but I'm seriously tempted to change it to, you know, it brings a cheddar. I mean, seriously, Will, that's like your word today. It's just like, you know, it makes the cheddar. It's with a lot of cheddar. That's a lot of cheddar out there. And, you know, cheddar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's your favorite kind of cheese, Will? Swiss. No. No. All right. One thing I definitely want to talk about before we start wrapping things up is they did things that have never been done on a Fire Emblem game before, except for maybe Fates in kind of a regard. And that's, you see the damage on the characters.
Oh, that's so cool, yeah.
I mean, it's...
Oh, boy.
We're not going there. I'm just saying, you know, you see the battle damage. And the closest thing we had to this ever was in Fates when you would sometimes randomly see the armor get blown off of people, which was hilarious, but
it
this
was
is
awesome.
Much more detailed because you're seeing custom-made sprites and illustrations of these characters, battle damage, battle worn, faces in pain or in agony, and, you know, it's just incredible. And I'm just like, I didn't even notice it at first, and I'm like, wait a minute, why is it their clothes are torn? And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're almost dead. They're realizing they're almost dead. You know? Like,
yeah.
that showed me that they weren't afraid to push things, to push things forward and to say, okay, we've never really done this before. Let's show you that, yeah, your characters are, quote-unquote, alive, and, you know, they're ensuring that... That you know, yeah, I gotta protect this character if I can. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And what the heck is up with Arthur?
I love Arthur's art, dude.
It's an eyesore because you see all this crisp art, all of it, and then you see Arthur and he looks stylized, like comic book stylized.
Sir. Objection, Your Honor, because like as I said before,
objection overruled. Shut up.
As I said before, like these are made from many different artists, going to like probably one of the like even for the, down to the detail to the more stylized, or like almost to the point it looks like comes from straight out from a manga. To the point, like Arthur's artwork is just it pretty much is very reminiscent of a comic book hero. I think that kind of like that's what the artist was going for, because again, Arthur is a comic book hero. Justice has prevailed.
I stand with Arthur.
Okay, but, and again, if that is the case, I kind of understand it. But the problem here is consistency. Like, and I get, yeah, there are a lot of people drawing these characters, but they all seem to have the same level of detailing and style, except for Arthur.
Well, isn't
listen,
really
Todd's the comic maker here, so I don't want to question his knowledge on this.
I mean, that's basically what this is, and I mean, I know I'm not the only one who's said this, because I would go to my Facebook groups and someone would post a picture of Arthur, and I'm like, what? Is that really how he looks? And I would see him in game. I'm like, oh my gosh, he really does look like that. And I'm like, he didn't look this stylized in Fates, and yet he's drawn like a cartoon character, ironically enough, here. And I'm just like,
Well, I will say, look at Roy, and then look at Marth. Because Roy looks cool, but he looks kind of boyish, whereas Marth looks like, I don't know, Marth looks like a true, like, noble, I guess. Like, his art is a lot more, like, look at the difference in his hair. He looks very real. Whereas Roy, I do think, is like Arthur is at the extreme end of the spectrum, in terms of comic lookingness. But
maybe.
Marth also, like, Marth and Roy, I think, is a good example of the consistently inconsistent, because they're both lords, but I think Roy's art is dramatically different from Marth's.
I think
but that's
Ella
just my
would,
opinion.
I think Ella would looks like a freaking noble, you know, he's got the kit, the cape, you know, the hair and everything, and then he talks about his son. Just like,
yeah,
that was the coolest thing. He's like, and he's like actually saying in game that his son is better than him in every way, and I'm like, I dig it from a father perspective, because that's love for a son. But I'm their general, you probably shouldn't be telling me this.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, he does say, I would love to fight alongside my son, too, which is pretty
funny.
That's
really cool. I mean, I really like that. One last thing. Biggest problems with the game. Like, really quick. What's the biggest problems in the game for you? I'll tell you what mine is. And it's not even the summons, which, you know, I've had my history with. Or getting the orbs, that's not it. Or the stamina, that's not it. It's the tutorial. Or should I say, lack of tutorial. Now, yes, the beginning of the game, you know, how they position players, that's great. That's fine. But once you really get into the game, they don't really tell you what to do. Did you know that you had to, like, get the CP to learn skills? I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't, because I was like, what's going on here? Then I keep seeing, like, long queue getting CP, and I'm like, what the heck is CP? And then I finally, like, I think I either looked it up or I just scrolled around it, and I was like, how do I get to learn skills? I guess I never really clicked that button before. And then I realized I can buy, you know, Vantage and all this stuff. And so all of a sudden I'm seeing a whole new level of detail of it, but I didn't know about it. Or I didn't know what the heck the hero feathers were for. I didn't know what arena duels were. I didn't know about the training tower. I mean, yes, they told me the training tower was there, but what did that mean? I didn't know. You know, I with all the details and depth that this game has, they need to explain all of it, especially to new players, because skills might not mean the same to them as it does to us Fire Emblem hardcores that know what skills mean, you know, or that you have to equip them and everything, or like the advanced growth or merging characters. I haven't merged characters personally, but or the go home function, which gives you hero feathers, and it's just like they need to do better. They need to have done better on that.
Yeah, that is a really good point, I think. I always, Will, you go next.
Yeah, like, probably one of the most biggest gripes I have regarding to Fire Emblem Heroes is, I mean, yeah, as I said from before, the stamina, the dueling crosses. But I guess the one of the major things that probably, like, if that ticked me off the most, I guess it was probably indeed just a simple story of it. I mean, yeah, we're talking about a simple summer story. Basically, you get summoned to the world, you have to go face off the heroes, and that's just pretty much it. It's just very, it's simple, and there's nothing too deep of a story, and plus the map is just like, yeah, you go find the main character of that world, and then you move on to the next one, and that's just pretty much it.
It was, I mean, a little simple, wasn't it?
And maybe it's just because they're trying to like scale it down for the mobile games, but I would like to have maybe a bit more variation. I mean, yeah, the map size, okay, fit good, that was okay for the most part for what it is, but maybe, I don't know, a bit more like variation, heck, even a goal, like what they did in Conquest, that sort. I don't know, that's just kind of my thing. I mean, it could be minor gripe overall, but
no, I think it's legit.
Maybe a bit more like a map variation, or even improve a bit more on the story. That's what I ask.
Maybe that's what we get in DLC, we don't know. Because the story's not done yet, ironically enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, Tyler?
That's fair. I think both of your guys' complaints are very valid. For me, it's probably the limited number of hero feathers, or the cost of hero feathers
to
promote your
character. Oh my gosh, the cost. 20,000 from silver to gold. Really?
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's only 2,000 to go from 3 to 4.
Which is still a lot.
Not terrible.
In context.
You can get there.
Yeah, you gotta get there.
But once, you know, so they get that to the 5-star, I think it's a problem. And the issue isn't, to me, the number necessarily. If you could buy the feathers, it would still, you know, be a little irritating, but I don't think it would be as bad, because you can only earn them by playing. And it's just, if they gave us more ways to get more feathers, I think that would improve the game a lot, because promoting your 4-star characters and the 5-star characters would be, you know, it's a ton of fun, and it keeps people playing to train their 3-stars all the way up. And I haven't touched Alphonse because I know I had to spend a ton of feathers to get him and Shireena all the way up to 5-star units to get him on par with the other guys, and that's just not worth, you know, the months I had to play to get the get.
And
the
I didn't realize that I was playing as with Alphonse and Shireena, especially Shireena, because she has that rally defense, which is awesome.
It is awesome.
But I'm just like, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh, they're 3-stars. Oh, I have to level them up. Oh, that's going to cost a lot. And so I moved on to someone else, and I honestly haven't touched them since I moved my second and third and fourth scenes. So I'm just like,
yeah, so that for me is the biggest problem. They just gotta. They're doing better now too. There's a lot of missions out there that give you 1,000.
Yeah.
So they're working on
arena
it.
Arena duels are more important now because they've revealed that you get hero feathers there. They did that 10,000 hero promotion. And let me just say, thank you, You. Yes, you. No, not you. You don't play the game. You. Nintendo did a promotion on Twitter. If they got 10,000 retweets, they would give 10,000 hero feathers to every single player in Fire Emblem. We got like 30 to 40,000 in less than a day. So thank you. And you. And yes, you in the back. No, not you. Again, you didn't play the game. But for all of you who helped us get our hero feathers so we could actually level up our characters, I thank you. I thank you. My Felicia thanks you. And soon my other characters will thank you as well. So, now again, we were going to be doing a in-podcast review and possibly a written review of a Fire Emblem Heroes in a little bit more time once we keep, diving into the game a little bit more. So stay tuned for that. But be sure to let us know what you think of Fire Emblem Heroes. What are your impressions? Who are your favorite characters? Who are the 5 stars you've gotten or the 5 stars you want to get? And like Tyler, how much money you have spent so far? And I honestly mean this honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I really hope none of you have spent 4K. I mean, I love Fire Emblem, but I'm not spending 4K on it. I have other things I want to buy.
Like Fire
So,
Emblem Echo, Shadows of Valentia.
yeah, which is coming out in a few months, or a little thing called the Nintendo Switch.
Oh yeah,
Just
that's a thing too.
saying. Okay. So, with that, we are going to end the this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. If you want to join us on a show, it's very, very simple. You just contact us on our Twitter feeds. We have them here on the outerhaven.net page for this podcast. You'll see it. Just look up Nintendo Entertainment Podcast on site if we're not on the main page at the time. Tweet at us about that you want to come on and why you want to come on and what you think we should talk about if you should come on. We're always open to new ideas. Just look at our last 2 episodes where we had Andross Alex and Kramcho, and possibly a super special guest coming up soon. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So we here at NEP, we want to talk to you because you are just as big a fan as we are. So come on down. Let's have some fun. Okay? Good. Oh, and give us ideas for intro music. That detail's on the page. So, for Tellius Tyler, the birthday boy.
Hey.
So old at
23.
23.
Yeah,
23.
I'm up there. Hey,
Oh,
it's getting a
gosh.
little late.
Stop. Stop. So for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Dodd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.